The University Tower chimes, ringing another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of sweaty questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. Oh, man, I got to transition to Beth, but I did not mean to make that a direct connection.
You did.
I'm sorry.
I don't believe you.
I saw you with your
dabbing
your forehead. It is a little warm in the studio. It's Professor Beth Oljar. It's really obvious.
Well,
sorry.
It could be August in the Briggs building.
Seriously.
Yeah, it's kind of warm.
It's
Briggs
sad.
10 gets really hot.
Did you just say you're
in
dabbing?
This basement?
I did. I'm dabbing.
She's dabbing. We are very glad to have Professor Kieran Ahrens back from the Department of Philosophy as a guest panelist.
Great to see you again.
You only get to be a guest panelist once, Kieran.
And then
you
become a regular.
Every time after that, you become a regular.
Or irregular, like the rest of us.
Yes, and irregular, like the rest of us.
If you want to blow off steam any Friday afternoon, stop by the studio.
There are a couple who have never been invited back.
Yeah. But we weren't supposed to say that on the air.
Sorry.
Not in front of Kieran.
Kieran, give us some totally triumphant hope from your democracy analysis class this semester from young people.
From who?
From young people.
The wheels are turning.
Wheels are turning. The wheels of justice.
You know, the current unit we're on is about maybe if you want to realize democracy, you should be trying to realize something else. And this unit, we listen to the anarchists. So,
okay.
You know, you might just get democracy without even trying.
Well, you know, Athenian democracy was not too far off from anarchy.
Oh, my.
Well, yeah, I mean, property-owning men. Although I've sometimes thought I might be a philosophical anarchist.
Twice he's been asked to say something positive. You're putting a lot of pressure on
him. He's being realistic.
In this economy?
In this day and age.
Yeah, really?
Tres leches en esta economía.
Feed us, and then we'll talk about democracy.
Let me know after November.
Let's move on to the other part of the Miss America pageant here. Dan Baggio,
oh, yes.
What do you think democracy
what?
Is? What does democracy mean to you?
Oh, I like walks on beaches.
And world peace.
And world peace.
And world peace.
P-E-A-S.
Are you also going to do the Miss Thailand dance, too?
We're going to get bad mail from this.
Yeah, we are.
And a nice bathing suit.
Well, it could just be ruled by the mob, you know, like Plato thought it was.
The Ask the Professor pageant will not be coming anytime soon.
Oh, okay.
What's going on with Dan?
Nothing. Curling season is over.
Aww. I know, the Olympics are over. Sorry.
I didn't watch any, which is...
Oh, so I can't talk about that anymore.
There was some exciting curling this year.
There was.
Well, you could talk about the Olympic prices for L.A.
Yeah, that's right.
Those
start buying your tickets.
Yeah.
Start buying your tickets.
The Summer Olympics don't have curling.
So they're
sorry.
In 2028?
Really?
Yes.
Uh-huh. They're selling tickets now.
If anybody comes.
If anybody can afford it.
Yikes.
It's too hot.
No comment.
I worry about the World Cup. Who's going to show up?
No comment at all.
Yeah.
All the way across the table, always on the other side of the forest of microphones, it's Professor Jim Tubbs.
Hello,
yes,
hello.
What's going on, Jim?
Well, not a whole lot. I'm trying to see you through the many arms.
It's best that you just keep your eyes closed.
Okay. And imagine you.
If this was a Zoom, I would not be turning
I'll just imagine you.
Yeah, it's been a rough week. Feel a little beat up.
If you want, I'll draw a map for you.
Okay.
You know. Professor Dave Chow is here with tiny cupcake in hand.
Yes, I'm trying to eat it eventually, so.
You're just holding on to it.
I'm holding on because I know you're going to call on me as soon as I put it in my mouth. That's all.
That's right. As soon as you're eating, that's when you'll call
You're like
me.
A waiter.
That's why Matt hasn't had one yet.
I know, because I don't need to gum up the works.
Well, you could. We won't mind.
You know, oh,
much.
But the listeners might.
Eh.
Professor Stephen Manning is here.
Hello, Matt.
There was somebody that carved a gummy Venus de Milo. You don't know.
A
know,
gummy
know
Venus
they
de
did.
Milo.
They did, absolutely. I saw it on The Simpsons. What's going on, Stephen?
Not much. Catching up on sleep.
That's always a good thing. A different time zone, right?
Waiting for the weather.
Right.
To finally change.
Almost there.
Almost there.
Although a lot of things are blooming right now, Professor.
They are, yes, yes. We've had a couple rounds of daffodils coming up and then getting snowed on and... Same thing happens, couple of cycles of that, but
nice.
We think we're finally done with that.
Yeah. So I've been saving this all week. Professor Heather Hill is here with us. This Reddit that I'm on is all about Detroit.
Hey.
And I thought it was cute. It was sort of taken over recently by a bunch of people who have green thumbs. And the question that was posed, no actual answer, I just thought it was fun, was in the world of the phenology, which is just following what the plants do, what is the thing that symbolizes spring in southeastern Michigan? And people had said the daffodils in Palmer Park. They said the forsythia, of course the forsythia, right? Well, how would you answer that question as someone with a pretty green thumb?
Wow.
Yeah.
Later spring, I'd say the crab apple.
How about when you start smelling a hyacinth?
Oh, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good one.
So you smell before you see.
I was thinking like Polish sausage at Comerica Park.
I thought this was flower specific.
It's flower specific. Oh.
There is not a sausage flower
out there.
There
is no sausage.
A friend of mine has lilacs in her backyard, and the smell is just amazing.
Oh, when those come out.
It's a wonderful
smell. They're beautiful.
Wonderful smell.
Yeah.
Good. I'm going to send you a link to that so you can read what all these other people wrote because it was actually pretty cute.
Okay, thank you.
Cool. This is a program, folks. We can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you'll receive a brand new edition of the ATP coffee mug and the autographed photograph of the professors. If you don't stump the panel, we'll send you the autographed photograph. You can send us the questions in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on Facebook and Instagram. Listen on your favorite smart speaker. Also, by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. Dear Matt and professors, it's been nearly a whole month since I sent in questions. Shame on me. Not sending in questions to ATP within a timely manner is sacrilegious, and I'm going to add sacrilegious as well.
Wait, is this like
please
confession?
Find in your warm and generous hearts to forgive the trespass now that we've buttered you up. Uh-oh. We hope the attached 20 varied questions will prove challenging and perplexing. We hope they provide a good fodder for your hilarious banter. Enjoy. Warmest greetings, as always, from Valencia, California. Frank and the family Burrows.
Here we go
these
again.
Questions. Here we go.
These are always fun.
According to Bureau of Labor Statistics? What percentage of the United States claims Hispanic or Latin descent?
24.
30.
18.
Beth's got to venture a guess.
I think it's in the 20s?
I mean, Stephen is closest. It says 19.5 as of the last census. But, you know, we don't know anything about our country anymore because the Bureau of Labor Statistics was dismantled.
Yeah, recently deported.
And how many people actually want to admit that they are Hispanic?
That is true. That is
I'm not tanning anymore.
Yep. Charles Jouin, J-O-U-G-H-I-N, Jouin, had an important position on the Titanic. Jim? What was it?
Lookout.
Charles Jouin?
Yeah.
He was the chef.
I don't remember that name.
I mean, you're pretty close, Stephen.
What?
Yeah, you're pretty close.
Sous chef?
He was the chef?
Mm-hmm. Stevedore.
Stevedore, we had that in a recent question.
Was he the sommelier? Was he the
Yeah, one? I mean, we start branching off from chef.
Pastry chef.
It's going to Heather. He was the chief baker of the Titanic.
He was the guy that drank half a bottle of booze and then jumped off.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
He was the last survivor who left the ship, treaded water for over 2 hours, and then was picked up.
That he treaded water for 2 hours is
in
the miracle there.
Incredible.
28-degree water.
Incredible.
Because his souffle fell.
Yep.
Yeah, how did he not?
But he claimed later it's because he had a real stiff drink
that
before
is...
he jumped. That would have killed him faster.
Yeah, exactly.
For most people.
Right.
Yeah.
Professors, what is Art Garfunkel's middle name? Because, you know, you get asked this a lot.
Arthur.
Paul.
It's not Paul.
Can you give us an initial?
It starts with the letter I.
Ignatius.
Ike.
It's not Ignatius. It's not
Ichabod.
Ike. It's not Ichabod.
It's not Isaac.
It's not Ian. It's not Isaac. It's a very short
Isidore.
Name that is also
Ian.
Ike.
Ira.
Ian. It's not Ike. It's Ira.
Oh, it is Ira.
I couldn't get Irish Republican Army out of my
This American Life.
That's a good
IRA,
one.
IRA, yeah.
Yes.
Ira Glass. Ira Flato.
This is Ira Glass.
Manhattan real estate people call this neighborhood Clinton, but it's way more popularly known as...
Clinton. Oh, Harlem.
Not Harlem.
Hell's Kitchen?
Hell's Kitchen Hell's is what Kitchen. It says here, yes.
Is that in
Hell's
reference Kitchen. To the president?
No.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so.
Didn't the Clinton set up shop probably. In Harlem, I think?
They did when she ran for senator, maybe, But I don't think that that's what this is referring, I thought that these were long-standing... like neighborhood nicknames, just like we have in the Metro Detroit area, like Manhattan, you know. But I subscribe to this group online that's like Cool Maps. And apparently the boundaries and the names of the neighborhoods in New York have changed in just the last 50 years.
Hmm, sure.
You go look and it's all like, it's sort of interesting. It's not been that way forever, in other words. If one types in, oh, this is wonderful, don't do it, Hudsons.com, looking for the defunct department store from Detroit, they'll get redirected immediately to this URL. What is it?
Hudson Bay Company?
Mm-mm.
Like Macy's or something
No, it's not Macy's.
Is it like a...
There was an old car called Hudson.
Yeah.
Risky clothing line.
Who else would have taken them
out? You don't remember who bought Hudson's, huh?
It was Marshall Fields.
Marshall Field bought Hudson's.
But then right after that, somebody bought Marshall Fields.
Target.
It was Target.com. Yeah, Target. It sends you to Target.com. I love the fact that they own the URL, Hudson's.com. That's crazy.
Well, Cyber Squad. So.
Yeah, exactly. How can I let this go by? Look it up because it's an absolute scream. Of course, it was 25, 20 years ago, whatever. But the guy... Google originally did not have Google.com as its URL. It was something more extensive than that. And a guy knew it was going to be big, so he went and registered Google.com with the people that sell those URLs and got hit up by Google and gave it back to them for
$6,000. Wow. I'm surprised it wasn't $6 million.
Yeah, or that's billion.
How can somebody smart enough to know to do that? Not smart enough to know to hold up.
People do this all the time.
They do this all the time.
Startups
that they know are full-time go jobs.
Oh, no, no. And then also with names. Like right now, I found out DaveChow.com is, they want $750 for it.
Oh, man, you got to get that.
John Oliver does this all the time.
Yeah, no, you squat popular names. That's all.
Huh.
You probably have seen the Camping Goods store, REI, before, but what do those initials stand for?
Recreational Equipment Incorporated?
Inspiration? It's actually Recreational Equipment Incorporated.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's from our part of the country. So
it is.
I look at Kieran because you went to grad school.
1930s, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I love that store.
On the TV show The Addams Family, how does Uncle Fester alleviate his migraines?
Dan?
Oh, he puts his head in a vise. Oh,
he puts his head in a vise.
Yeah, that furniture vise.
Screw press is what it's called, but it's a vise.
Oh my gosh, definitely
a vise. Frank really knows how to hit everybody at the table, Professor Manning. What MLB pitcher has thrown the most pitches in one game, and how many pitches was it?
Oh, my gosh, that's a great question.
I can give you this. 1974 versus your Boston Red Sox.
74.
Yes.
Carl Yastrzemski.
I hate to say it. It's probably a Yankee.
It wasn't a Yankee. Are you ready for this? Are you sitting down?
I was thinking Tom Seaver.
19 total strikeouts for the game. 10 walks. They lost the game in the 15th inning, and he walked away with a no decision.
Wow.
It's just incredible. Who was it pitching for the California Angels? In a 15-inning game.
He got into a fight with that guy he bulldogged him. What was his name?
That was the Red Sox pitcher.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
That was Pedro Martinez.
That was Pedro Martinez.
It's one of the greatest pitchers of all time.
74.
Angels. California
Angels.
Who was
a great pitcher for the Angels?
In 74.
74, yep. The start of his career.
Nolan Ryan.
It was Nolan Ryan right there. And here we go. How many pitches did he throw at that game?
Well, he didn't pitch all 15 innings, presumably.
He only pitched 13 of the 15 innings.
Only 13.
And how many strikeouts did he have?
He had 19 strikeouts for the game.
So he pitched 150 pitches.
No, it's got to be more than that.
No, it's less. It could be less. 89.
No. It's got to be 210.
They pitch 89 when they're taken out after six.
But this is back in the day when those guys had that many strikeouts.
He didn't have a lot of long innings.
160.
This paper says he pitched 235.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yes,
over 200.
You did. Whoa. That is incredible. Nobody does that anymore. Tarek Skubal takes a phone call in the sixth inning, and he's like, I'm done. He was icing down his shoulder
for another 200.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, starters are now geared to pitch six innings.
Only five or six.
Then they're out.
What was the subject matter of the very first photo that was posted on Instagram? This is one of those. Do you remember, the guy was giving a tour of a zoo for the first posting on YouTube?
Like something at Taco Bell or something like that?
You're very close. You're very close.
Oh, I've heard this before.
A cat trying to get up a greased pole.
Cat eating a taco?
I'm bringing all three of your ideas together. It was a picture of a dog near a taco truck is what it was.
Okay.
Take one little bit of everything you all said.
Was he the actual founder of MySpace?
Maybe they just want you to think that.
Why not?
Because he looks friendly.
Yeah, I know that photo is still floating around the internet.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Over the entire lifespan of a typical automobile, what percentage of the lifespan of the car is spent in park?
Too much.
99.9.
This is the average.
We've got 99.9. Kieran's nodding.
Most of it.
Most of it is a good answer.
80%.
You got 80%.
I'd say 89%.
89?
I was going to say, 90.
91.57432.
I'm giving it to you. 95% is what it says here. Spent in park.
Nailed it.
That's,
close enough.
You want to go check out the car. I know Kieran was buying a car recently. He's like, let me get a sense of what it's going to be like in park here. That's most of the lifetime.
Mine would be higher than that.
Would be even higher than that.
In fact, I got this low mileage discount thing through State Farm. And every 6 months when it renews, they ask for an odometer reading.
I hope you get a kickback for that
remark.
Then they
call me. Sure? Then they call me, especially in the winter. I don't drive much. They call me and say, are you sure you're not reading the total? I know how to read an odometer.
Yeah,
you'd like to come by the house and take a picture of it.
It's the little two-seater sports car, so we usually drive my Tucson most of the time, so...
What category did Sir Winston Churchill win his Nobel Prize in 1953?
Literature.
Beth said literature. He's exactly correct. Absolutely. Literature.
Probably for the history of World War II,
I'm guessing. Mm-hmm. On the Hollywood Walk of Fame, who got their star first? Pee-wee Herman or Paul Rubens?
Pee-wee Herman.
Pee-wee Herman.
Yeah.
That's a fair guess. It also says here, trick question, Paul Rubens does not have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Oh, that's too bad.
But Pee-wee Herman does.
But Pee-wee Herman does.
The boroughs are tricking us.
We love your alter ego, but you, get out of here.
Yeah, go away.
The Mattel doll Barbie has a full name. Do you remember what it is?
Barbara.
It is Barbara is the start.
She Barbara has Jean.
A middle name that starts with M and a last name that starts with R.
Barbara Marie.
No, with Barbara. Millicent.
Millicent is her middle name.
Yeah, I remember Barbara some snooty name. That's all
Rogers.
I remember.
Rogers?
Well, you're really close.
Roberts.
Barbara Millicent Roberts. I almost gave it to you, Rogers. Because, okay.
So what is Ken's whole name?
That's a good question. Does
how about
not
Midge?
Say.
He doesn't
does not
need
say.
It.
He just Ken.
Yeah. He's eye candy.
BMR.
He is Knuff. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, what state has the highest percentage of Canadians?
Hey,
Maine.
In what sense?
Maine is number two.
In what sense?
Vermont?
I think by population.
Montana.
Yep.
Vermont.
Montana is not in the top five. Vermont is number three.
Washington.
Washington is not in the top five.
Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania is not in the top five.
I feel like Michigan.
New York?
Michigan's number five.
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire is number one. So we've got New Hampshire. Maine, you said. Vermont, you said.
New Hampshire.
Blank and Michigan. What's the missing one? Starts with the letter M.
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. Are you ready? Michigan has 0.35% of its population of Canadian nationals. That goes all the way up to New Hampshire. 0.88% population is.
0.8
Canadian national.
Turns out Canadians are fine where they are.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
I was going to say, obviously, people are just leaving Canada.
Took the words out of my mouth.
Not really.
90%+ of the Canadian population lives within 50 miles of the border with the United States.
What percent? 90?
90%.
Yeah. It used to be 100 miles. Now it's 50.
Huh? Yeah, I think it's getting closer.
I spilled over and I didn't know what to do.
Where was or what was...
Like 2 miles from the border.
What was John Wayne's collegiate alma mater?
Ooh.
Ooh.
He was pre-law, but had to drop out due to the loss of his athletic scholarship.
Stanford, USC, UCLA.
Oh, you hit it. USC.
USC.
He broke his collarbone during a body surfing incident and left the football team. Of course he did, because he's John Wayne. You know, it's his... In what city was Office Max, the company, founded?
Beth?
I'm just reeling that you just said John Wayne was a sponger.
Yeah, I'm telling you right now. Body surfing. Seriously.
You should watch Trumbo, that movie, to get a different view of John Wayne.
Minneapolis?
Minneapolis is a good guess. I'll give you broadly, it's definitely Midwestern. I'll even give you another level. It's very Rust Belt. Very Rust Belt.
Cleveland.
Cleveland. Oh, I say Rust Belt immediately. You say Cleveland. Cleveland, Ohio, 1988. That was OfficeMax.
88?
What four British civilian liners, here we go, Jim, were used during the 82 Falklands War?
Okay, the QE2 was one of them.
That is correct.
Was the Oriana used as one of them?
I don't see that.
It was P&O Orient. Coronia? I'm trying to remember which ones existed then.
Queen Mary is still in California, right?
Yeah, the Queen Mary was already retired at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think. No.
QE2 and one other was used for troop transport, it says. Yeah. What was the other?
Trying to remember what.
Same name as a big city in Australia.
Sydney.
Starts with the letter C.
Canberra?
Canberra. Okay.
The Canberra and the QE2 were used for troop transport. Another one was a former educational cruise ship and was converted to hospital.
Former educational?
Yep. Starts with the letter U, same name as a country.
Uruguay?
Ukraine?
You kidding? Oh, Uzbekistan?
The United States?
It says the SS Uganda, Jim.
I said Uganda.
I'm sorry.
Really?
I'm sorry. That's my bad ear. And the last one was a car and passenger ferry that was converted to a very small troop transport. It starts with the letter N.
I have no idea where the car ferries went.
The Nina?
The Pinta?
No, it was the Norland, is what it says here. The Norland was converted. So, yeah, just interesting.
Interesting.
Name three sports where you win, but you have to go backwards.
Rowing.
Golf.
Rowing. I don't have golf. Golf would have been a good way to interpret this, but I've got rowing.
You're facing backwards?
You're facing backwards.
Not your score.
Mm-hmm.
You're facing backwards.
Pole vault?
No, that's not what it says here, but I would agree with that.
High jump.
Pole vault, high jump, they fit that, but that's not what it says here.
What else going backwards?
There's one where you're literally racing against other people also going backwards.
Why?
Mm-hmm. Not rowing as a team. This is an individual sport. This is tough.
Is it on a bike?
I love this.
On a bike? No.
No, not on a bike. It is an Olympic sport.
What?
Michael Phelps was really good at it.
Oh, backstroke.
Backstroke. Yeah. And the last one apparently is going to be, was a test Olympic sport, but mostly it's just for like family reunions and...
Tug of war.
Tug of war is the other one.
Because remember Sister, what's her face, participated in that.
Sister what's her
face? No, remember she was a guest on our show.
Oh, Sister... Aaron?
Thank
Sister
you. Aaron McDonald. You couldn't remember either stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, she was talking about nuns with, fun nuns or something like that.
fun nuns.
Nuns having fun.
Nuns playing tug of war. It's the way to go.
No, but she had pictures of like these nuns in their habits, pulling on a rope.
Organized joy, as one of my Sister of Mercy friends used to say.
The last
that's
time.
That's like something Gil Mary Bauer would say, actually.
It was Dolores Naraka that used to say that. Mm-hmm. And she used to roll her eyes as she did.
The last time I saw Sister Erin McDonald, I walked out of the main office in chemistry, and she was walking by, and she stopped, and she put her hands on her hip and says, "Give account of yourself."
That's all good.
Jeez.
Like, I mean, yes, ma'am. You got to admit, she had some great stories about meeting.
She's a nun, and you're a good Catholic, it was traumatic.
Yeah.
Better that you're a good Catholic.
Better.
I love her story about going to the Vatican. She didn't have anything to wear,
that's
remember?
Right. She made it all the way there, but didn't know she was going to meet the Pope, so did not have nice clothes. No, that's right. I got a feeling Pope Bob wouldn't care about that. Right?
No. I don't think Francis would have either.
Yeah, just don't show up the Cubs hat, right?
I wish she had washed the feet of the poor instead of washing the feet of... 13 priests or what? That seemed a little kind of
a little bit weird.
But
a little bit weird. It's a weird tradition in the church. I know I've made this thing before, and I love being quote unquote love being Catholic. But if you go to Holy Thursday Mass and you see five priests laying face down in front of the altar for like about 10 minutes straight, you're like, yeah, this is weird. Like that's just something else going to happen here. Like, you know what I mean? Hey, this is the Mass where we celebrate priests.
And Gil Mary had to do that when she took her final vows.
I bet she did.
And her younger brothers who were in the pew right next to where she was prostrate on the floor said, "Is Marianne dead?"
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
Good piece of trivia, by the way, for Michiganders. This is good. Who was the only sitting U.S. president who marched across the Mackinac Bridge for the annual Labor Day walk?
Gerald Ford?
No.
Clinton, wouldn't
That would make a lot of sense.
It would.
And Clinton almost makes a lot of sense. But this is, aside from the other idea that you have that would make very little sense, the other one that would make very little sense.
Obama?
Not Obama. Obama makes sense to me. Oh, that he
Obama
would be
makes sense too. But
Ronald
it was,
Reagan?
It wasn't Reagan. That's a good
Bush.
Guess. That
Maybe
doesn't
Bush?
Make sense. It was H.W. actually.
Oh,
who
right.
did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
H.W.
Okay.
Bush.
He walked across the whole thing?
That was the Republican governor.
Those were the 80s, right? You know? But who was governor at the time? Because I feel like they were chummy. Engler, right?
John
so,
Engler,
yeah.
Yeah,
that
Well, the
made
most
a lot of
pro-labor recent president was Biden.
Sure.
Yeah.
He would have made sense,
here
too.
And, you
yeah.
know.
That would have made sense,
well,
too.
Well, I think he appeared in the parade here in Detroit.
The Labor Day parade. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it a windy day? Because they could have blown him off the bridge.
If it was a Yugo, it would have blown off. Yep.
Yes.
The Yugo.
Leslie's going to listen to this and be afraid to go visit our son who recently committed to Michigan Tech University.
Well, you
can
have somebody drive her across.
Yeah. Well, he's going to do it.
Yeah.
What is Emma Morano's odd claim to fame? Last name Morano. I can't give you any other information.
Emma Morano.
Emma Morano is very well known. Yeah, for this very interesting thing.
Is it
wow.
food related?
It's not food related. Good way to narrow it down.
Music related?
It's not music related.
Is it an invention?
It's not an invention.
It's her thing.
Is she a writer?
She did not do anything besides last a really long time.
Is it like a world record?
It's sort of a world record.
She's the world's oldest.
She held her breath underwater the longest.
Oldest, but with a very specific spin on it.
She's the oldest.
We'll have to look her up after the show. So she passed in 2017. This is your last hint. At the age of 117 years.
Oh,
wow!
So she was the last person, according to the United States Census,
that was born in the 1800s.
That born in the 1800s. Wow. Yes, that's right. And she just died a few years ago. That's like mind blowing.
Well, all of my grandparents were born in the 1800s.
Well, and I think that there's the John Tyler thing about to happen, how he married the very young woman,
yeah.
and he has a grandson who's alive yeah. today that walks around. Like, that's weird, man. Like, that's just the weirdest thing I've ever heard. You have to look it up. It's messed up, man.
Okay.
But unfortunately, we are counting down the final seconds here, profs. Always a lot of fun, but the time has come for us to say goodbye. Beth.
Goodbye.
Kieran.
Bye-bye.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Jim.
Goodbye.
Dave.
See ya.
Steven.
Goodbye.
And Heather.
Bye-bye.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.